Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the at-large briefing call on creating a consumer agenda at ICANN, held on Thursday, the 1st of September, 2016, at 2230 UTC. We will not be doing a roll call, as it is a briefing, but if I could please remind everyone on the phone bridge, as well as computer, to mute your speakers and microphone, as well as state your name when speaking, not only for transcription purposes, but to allow our interpreters to identify you on the other language channel. We have English, Spanish, and French interpretation. I'll now turn it back over for opening remarks to Alan Greenberg, Chair of the AILAC. Please begin.
Thank you very much. You noted we won't be doing a roll call, but I presume we will be logging who is on Adobe Connect.
And audio, correct.
Yes, correct. Thank you. The origins of this proposal are that at the ICANN meeting in Helsinki, Garth Bruin raised the issue with Steve Crocker. I don't remember who else may have been in the room at the time, but certainly Steve was there, that ICANN does not focus enough on users, and specifically ICANN compliance did not have a real focus on users. There had been a commitment to hire a consumer, I don't remember the exact title, but essentially a consumer-oriented person within compliance. That was a statement that was originally proposed over a year ago, or 2 years ago now, I believe, and for various reasons that position was never filled, or at least has not been filled last time I heard. Certainly was not filled in Hawaii, in Helsinki. Steve's reaction was that if the AILAC believed that we should have a focus on users or consumers, that we should make a proposal. And that challenge was taken up by Garth, and he created the document that we're looking at today. There have been a number of comments on it. I made a number of comments today, and this is an opportunity for us to go over the document and try to see how people think about it. I had hoped Garth would be on the call, but he doesn't seem to have made it yet. So I will keep going and start the review, and perhaps he'll join us as we go along. Any questions or comments as an introduction before we get into the substance of it?
Nope.
Not a thing. All right. We have what is on the screen right now is the original thing Garth posted. I don't know if that is the same as the one he posted as the one for comment. Was that just a cut and paste of the same document, or is it indeed changed? Ariel, do you know? Is Ariel with us?
Yes, this is Ariel. And for the record, I believe it's the same document.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, I would suggest that we go over it essentially section by section. And looking at it, I now see it is not quite the same document because there is an intent and authority section in the first part. But I think the overall content is similar. The first part essentially sets the background for under what auspices. Garth is referring to Section 2.3 of the bylaws. In fact, it's Article 1, Section 2.3. And I'm not quite sure that is the appropriate section because that refers to the policy role of entities, and AILAC does not have a formal policy role. We have a role to comment on things and make recommendations. So I would think that we would do this not under that role, which is appropriate to the groups like the GNSO, which have a specific mandated policy role, but under the guise of our simply being an advisory committee, and we're recommending it to ICANN. In any case, that's not a substantive part of the proposal. If we scroll down a little bit And trying to find out where he introduces the term consumer. Sorry, I'm working from a different version of this document. Yes, go ahead, so whoever's speaking.
It's Holly, and I'm looking at the page that reads consumer definition for the purpose, for the purposes of this proposal. A consumer is any person who uses the Internet for any purpose. I think that answers your question. Thank you.
And I'm trying to see where that is in the document that is being, that is on the screen.
It's on my screen.
All right. I don't know if it is or not. However, Garth introduces the definition. For the purposes of this proposal, a consumer is any person who uses the Internet for any purpose. It is fair game to define the term consumer and then use it. However, there has been significant comment by people who did not look at the definition, or perhaps it wasn't in the version they commented on, and are raising issues saying the term consumer is not necessarily used within ICANN. Other people said that a consumer is someone who uses up things, so you consume potato chips, but you do not consume the Internet because it doesn't get used up. I suspect that introducing the new term, which Garth did because he thought that it would catch people's attention more than simply calling it users, I suspect it's going to introduce more controversy without any real benefit. And my suggestion certainly would be to go back and use the term user and use it consistently. I'm curious about anyone else's input on this. Does anyone have any strong feelings on whether we should introduce the term consumer or use users? Holly, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm less concerned actually about the term than about coverage of all of the users. And since users is something that is in ICANN's language, and if we say it's everybody who uses the Internet, it's recognized already. I appreciate him saying consumer. It looks as if it expands it, but basically I think use is appropriate.
Yeah, thank you. I tend to agree. There are too many of the people who read this. Their reaction was, I consume when I buy something from Amazon. I don't consume when I'm surfing the web. So my inclination would be to, despite the potential benefit of using a new term, I think it will obfuscate more than it will fix. Harold, please. I'm sorry, Alberto and then Harold.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. Thank you. Well, I do agree with still continuing using the term user. In my country, as well as in many other countries where we have legal protection for consumers, well, when we say consumers, we are referring to those people who are paying for a service or paying for goods. So when we say users, we are talking about people who are using Internet, regardless they are paying it or not. And we are also referring to future users, that is to say those people who are not connected yet but who might be using the service in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Harold?
This is Harold Ako for the record. I just wanted to reinforce the idea. I do agree with using end users, but I think we have to make some clarification regarding the creation of the agenda, because when we say consumer, we are explicitly referring to a relationship between a consumer and a user. A consumer is a kind of user, a type of user. And we know that this might be controversial within ICANN, but at a global level, we know that we know the importance of ensuring Internet access, as well as to define Internet as a human right. Therefore, from the at-large community, we cannot only restrict this to the concept of consumer. So perhaps we should talk to Garth and see if he's referring to a creation of an agenda for the protection of legal rights for those people who are paying for this service, or for those people who have a relationship with a provider, or if we are referring to the rights of end users. According to the document, I think he's focusing on end users, but the relationship between consumers and suppliers or providers, well, that is something important, and it might be dangerous if we use this concept within our community. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much. Two points. First of all, can people please keep their comments short and concise, or we're not going to be able to get through this document. Number two, Garth did define the term consumer, which may have a meaning to us in general, but he did specify that he meant by the word consumer all users of the Internet, regardless of whether they pay or not. Evan, go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Alan, and thanks for having this session.
Evan, if you're still speaking, we can't hear you. Well, either Evan was just being polite and simply thanked us and that's all he had to say, or we have lost him. I don't know which. Give him 10 more seconds. All right, we'll go on. If Evan comes back, we'll give him an opportunity. Then the next section is, and I do wish, perhaps staff can pull up the correct document, the one that's flagged as the draft for discussion, so we can all be looking at the same document. The first section in that document...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you, Evan. Go ahead.
Okay, Adobe Connect continues to be rebooting on me, so I apologize for that.
We can call
out
to you.
So I'll try and keep this very brief so it won't reboot on me. Okay. The point is, the term consumer, for better or worse, is already defined within existing ICANN activity. If we redefine it, we're going to be confusing people that have already seen the definition. They're already...
We have lost Evan.
I think we can go on.
Can I ask staff, in addition to changing the document, if someone can be taking some brief notes of the comments that are made to make it easier for the document to be updated afterwards? All right. The next section in the document I'm looking at is the standard for ICANN work. And it starts reading, our proposal is to attach a mandatory document and test to all ICANN policy changes, expenditures, and DNS expansion projects. Essentially, he's saying that for every time that ICANN is doing something substantive, that we should have to put into it a test of what is the impact of users on this. Now, there is already, and either Cheryl or Holly may recall, on the GNSO side, we have recently put in a clause like that, I believe in relation to human rights. So there is a precedent to make sure
impact
that...
Impact
assessment, that is the term. So there is a precedent already in one part of ICANN. So this, I think, follows that quite reasonably. And he's not looking for a long discourse necessarily, but it should be considered. I personally think that is a fine idea. I think the term, his use of the term DNS expansion is not necessarily appropriate. Because I don't think that's a defined term. I think he means expansion of the namespace. And one of his examples is How does transparency in ICANN through document disclosure impact users? And I think that's a bad example for reasons I gave in my notes, but I think the overall concept is something that is reasonable and is something that we should do as we go forward. I see hands from Harold and Evan. I think both of them are old hands. Any comments on this section? Is someone working at getting the new document up?
Hi, Alan. This is Heidi.
Yeah.
I have asked you in your Skype chat which document it is, because that's the one that's on the wiki.
If you go onto the wiki and look at the place where normally we have the document to be discussed, The document you have, I think, came out of was in a comment box. If you go above that, it's under the title First Draft Submitted. Sorry, I'm not reading all of my chats.
Evan Leibovich.
Joined.
Welcome, Evan, again.
sorry.
I thought Adigo doesn't do the joined messages once a meeting has started. Maybe Evan is special.
Maybe for not really. okay, I'll keep my comment very short, and it has to do with the fact that, unfortunately, for better or worse, the term consumer has already been used by ICANN within its own context, within its own working groups and review teams, such as the Consumer Choice and Trust, I forget the exact acronym. But the term consumer is already in use within ICANN, and when it is used to mean both registrants and end users. So if we redefine it, we risk confusing a situation where it has already been defined. That's the big problem here, is that there is already an existing use. I would also remind everybody that the mandate of at-large in the bylaws deals with the needs of end users. We are not here to speak for registrants. They are already represented by other constituencies within ICANN. So if this is going to be an at-large initiative, then either we need to stick with the bylaw definition of our scope, which is Internet end users, or come up with something else. The problem with using the word consumer is it already has an existing use, that we should either stick with the existing use, which means registrants and end users, or drop it and go to something else, whether it's end user specifically or some other term. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Just for the record, you will recall several years ago, and you were one of the ones who helped draft this statement, is that ALAC does work on behalf of registrants, but if we're in a situation where end users and registrants have different requirements, then we side with end users. But where they coincide, we in fact do work on behalf of registrants. That has been the position ALAC has taken over the years. Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Capanoblon speaking. My question is, aren't registrants just a subset of end users in the ALAC context?
I think I just answered that.
Okay, just wanted to be clear.
Yeah, they definitely are a subset. At times there are conflicts, and at that point we have to decide which side we're on, and we vote with the 4 billion, not the limited number of domain name registrants. Next item is, if there's no more comments on that, and I think we are in general agreement that although the use of the term consumer by Garth was well-intentioned, it probably does not serve our purposes on the long run. I think there seems to be a general consensus on the call on that. His next paragraph has to do with restructuring compliance and essentially ensuring that that compliance does look at issues regarding users. Now, as I've mentioned, there was an intent to hire someone with a user focus. That has not happened, and that's part of what has triggered this current discussion. We are on section number 2, by the way, called restructuring in the document. A couple of concerns with what Garth has there. Number one, and Sebastian is the one who raised this, that if those of you with a long enough memory will know that compliance at one point reported to ICANN Legal and to ICANN Senior Counsel, that was considered problematic for a number of reasons, and the affirmation of commitments review team that looked at who is a number of years ago suggested that compliance report directly to the board. The board decided that they would not take direct responsibility, but that the compliance would report directly to the CEO. That was the case until our current CEO left. The new CEO, for a number of reasons, partly just so he could focus on the IANA transition, and because on an interim basis before he took office, compliance was temporarily reporting to the Global Domains Division, it didn't report to the Global Domains Division, but did report to Akram Atala, who was acting CEO, and he thought it was expedient for that reporting relationship to remain. So right now, compliance officially reports to the Global Domain Division, and there are some people, I'm among them, that feel that that is, if not a real conflict, certainly an apparent conflict. That is, compliance is responsible for enforcing contracts with the customers of the Global Domains Division. And in a purely, from a sales perspective, they have an interest in keeping their customers happy, and therefore compliance works against that. Now, I'm not saying the individuals act in that way, but that certainly is a perception. So this section says that compliance should be separate from anything that has an apparent conflict, and he identifies a number of different possible ways that compliance could be reorganized to allow for less conflict. I will point out that in a meeting that the ALAC had in Helsinki with intellectual property people, they tended to agree with that and said we should pursue the issue. And at some level, this document is indeed doing that. Comments? Olivier and then Holly.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier, Captain Abdul speaking. And just as a bit of trivia, earlier today was the GNSO Council monthly conference call and a discussion on the subsequent procedures following up on a discussion that we did have in our own community regarding subsequent procedures and whether the ALAC wanted all of the reviews and a number of things to be completed before a next round takes place. Other communities in the GNSO Council, specifically when it came down to the non-contracted house commercial stakeholder group, emitted very similar thoughts. And I even heard that some said the compliance was basically not doing its job to protect consumers. It's interesting to see how that comes up.
Yep, interesting to hear that in that form. Holly.
Just going on from there, in terms of compliance, well, if you think about the role of ombudsman, who is supposed to stand apart from and separate from and therefore in a good position to be independent of and make independent judgments, theoretically you should be able to put compliance in that kind of same independent and therefore able to make judgments situation. So I really agree with what you're saying. I don't think compliance actually sees itself as independent enough of all of the parties. And maybe we need to make that point very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else?
right. Next section. The section is entitled Direct Messaging to the Consumer. ICANN has developed guides for attorneys, journalists, and law enforcement, but not for consumers. Existing beginner's guides deal specifically with at-large and not end users. Our proposal is the development of a consumer guide to ICANN as a collaboration between ICANN staff and at-large to ensure that the message ultimately reflects a mutual understanding between ICANN and the consumer. I have a concern there that we have over the years regularly suggested that at-large or ALAC collaborate in drafting some documents and various things. We rarely have actually found the personnel to step up to do it. So I strongly support the concept, but there is no point in doing it unless we will follow that up with people who will actually do the work. So I do have some concern there. Open the floor to anyone else.
Well, I think we should.
Holly, go ahead.
Yeah, look, it may be part of the ALAC review, but I really think that that's an important task for us, and I think, you know, there are enough kind of working groups who aren't doing anything, possibly one that I lead, that why can't we just set up a working group and say, what are the sorts of questions that end users and a subset of them is registrants? I just think that would be really useful. We could probably liaise with, you know, on security issues with SSAC, with other, to come up with fact sheets that are written for the end user. I actually think that would be something that's really important for us to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you. The question is, will we find people to actually put the hours in? Evan.
I will.
Sorry, were we still talking about Alan? Were we still talking about reaction to the community about the terms under which to do the new GTLD rounds?
We are
because,
not talking about new GTLDs at all.
Okay. Okay.
No, we're talking about at this point, section number 3, the having documents that address end user issues. From an end user perspective.
Okay, there's no question this is needed. I mean, we're going back to conversations I had with Heidi's predecessor, Nick, about the idea of doing end user targeted information. This has always been difficult because some is within ICANN scope. I don't know if some of it is outside ICANN scope. For instance, the difference between a GTLD and a CCTLD. This is common knowledge to people inside the bubble. It's absolutely unknown to people outside. People think that a .co is the same as a .com in terms of its regulation, in terms of its ability to protect consumers. There's no awareness at all out there that I can see, even that a .co is affiliated with the national government of Colombia, and yet .com is totally administered by ICANN. In some cases, especially the country codes that are marketed as a generic, such as .co, .me, .ly, and so on, there's a deliberate, in fact, I would say, attempt to confuse the issue, to tell people that, you know, a two-letter code is treated exactly like a three-letter code, whereas if somebody has a problem with something that happens with a two-letter top-level domain, ICANN has no jurisdiction at all, and it's to me an absolute, it's almost criminal that this information is not put out in a forthright manner. So does ICANN say that it's within their realm because CCTLDs are not? Or, I mean, this is the most basic kind of information that's out there. You know, if you have a problem with a CCTLD, ICANN cannot help you. There's all sorts of most basic information like this that isn't even being thought of as part of the information campaign. It's so low level, but I think there's too much of a, you know, when you're involved with ICANN within at large, you tend to learn the lingo and understand the internal ways things work. and then you get out into the public and you realize that something as basic as the difference between a 2 and a 3 letter and the significant ramifications of that difference are absolutely unknown outside ICANN. That's one example. It's a clear one, but it's not the only one. So, I mean, if we want to talk about doing clear end-user information that helps people understand how the DNS works, how it works for them, and maybe sometimes how it works against them, if we're going to do this kind of information, it has to be done at that low level. It can't make assumptions about what people know. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. If I may summarize, you're putting a tick mark on this item.
A big one.
I'm putting a tick mark, but I'm saying it can't aim too high. It can't make any assumptions about what its audience knows.
It's user oriented. I think Garth was pretty clear there.
Olivier, go ahead. Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablon for the transcript. And Evan mentioned the difference between a ccTLD and a gTLD, and that's obviously a big question. I thought that ICANN staff was working on this at the moment to write some kind of a guide that was going to mention the difference between the two. I didn't say at-large staff. I said ICANN staff. I recall the discussion along those lines.
May I suggest that if someone's already done it, then it's done, and we don't have to do it over again. If we can find such a thing, if not, the paper is stating we have a need for it.
So that's where we need to check that, please.
We've certainly it's been talked about enough times that yes, it may well be done, and it's just buried somewhere that we don't know where it is. That's certainly a conceivable possibility. Any other comments on this item? Seeing nothing, next item, due process for domain disputes. At the moment, there are two methods for disputing a domain name through inaccurate WHOIS record and through trademark infringement. These two situations do not represent the various consumer issues that might have the various issues consumers might have with domain names. And he goes on to say that we should have mechanisms to address other types of issues other than those. I guess my comments are there's a number of things. First of all, there are certainly things that come to ICANN which are not within ICANN's realm of responsibility. But that doesn't mean that ICANN shouldn't try to make sure that the user knows where to go for a solution. And Evan mentioned things with ccTLDs, which are out of our scope completely. I don't know to what extent that is being done right now. There are other things where presumably ICANN does have some jurisdiction and is not geared up to handle it. And I'm guessing that that was one of the motivations for saying we should hire someone with a consumer target in mind. So certainly we need to do a better job. We need to make sure that we are hand-holding to the extent we can, recognizing that not everything is within our control and not all complaints are necessarily ones that are even valid. There are lots of complaints that come in which are due to either user error or, something that is completely outside of ICANN's remit. But we need to make sure that we are addressing them properly, at least to the extent we can. So I strongly support this concept. It's nothing new. It's nothing that we haven't said before. And we certainly need to push this one forward. Comments? Nothing.
Oh, Vanda.
Sorry?
Tolleen, I'll put my hand up.
You don't have to put your hand up. You have speaking. You have
thank
the mic.
Thank you. Vanda says in the chat, I'm doing a study about new gTLDs in the LAC region. The first question is what ICANN is. it's really just reinforcing Olivier's point. Nobody really knows. So it really is, it's an information. The point I was going to make about complaints, one of the suggestions I made to the ATRT2 was we should be gathering information that goes to the ombudsman and then is told it's outside jurisdiction. My suggestion is that a lot of those things that are said to be out may simply be issues that end users have, that registrants have. It may be about a lack of information. And if we know the difficulties people have trying to understand ICANN, it may actually inform the sort of information that should be available on the website and easily found. Thank you.
Yes, there certainly is should be a feedback loop from the item number 4 on handling complaints back to the information that we should be providing people. There's no question that those are linked together. The next last item in his document is, I think it's the last item, is one he entitles, In Fact, Reviews of Internet Use. The community is regularly provided with statistics on domain registration, but little data on the actual use of the DNS. It would be useful from a consumer perspective to understand how the DNS is being used. For example, how many existing domain names are actually in zone files or linked to an IP address? How many domain names are in active use as websites or name servers as opposed to simply being warehoused? How many domains were used in abusive or compromised by malware in a given year? How many domains were used in spam this year? How many domains had intrusions at the registrar, registry, or hosting levels? How many domains are owned by commercial entities as opposed to individuals? How many domains are registered in commerce, and how many are purely informational? My take on that is a lot of that is actually being done by a number of different bodies, certainly not under ICANN's auspices. The information may or may not be available. And certainly some of the questions require judgment calls, and I'm not sure there's any real automated way to do it. You know, how many are used in commerce as opposed to informational, for instance. And I'm not quite sure how one calculates the number of intrusions. Certainly I think the information should be available. To what extent ICANN should take responsibility for funding it and collecting it, I'm not quite sure. I suspect there are other people who are doing it on a more regular basis within specific areas of spam or phishing or things like that. Olivier, I know you've looked at a fair amount of this more than I have. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, thanks. It's Olivier speaking. Not really. I mean, there's a lot going on at the moment. And I think that on the one hand, we do have all of the reviews that are taking place and that are going to yield a lot of information. And so you've got the review on the one side, you've got the subsequent procedures working group on the other. They're all working on all this collection of data. You've seen that we've got those metrics that have come out, those quick, fast metrics that have come out. They're just showing as being a start to the amount of things that ICANN is going to collect and to put graphs to. And a lot of that actually stems from the work that has taken place in the past with the consumer trust and the original group, basically, which I think you were on as well, or maybe it was Cheryl who was on that
Cheryl.
Group as well. Cheryl, yeah.
And Evan.
Cheryl and I
Evan.
Were there.
Yeah, so quite a few people on that. And so it's all actually moving forward slowly but surely. I can certainly see some improvement on all this. All this tracking. But it's a huge amount of work. We have to start from scratch, basically.
Yeah, my feeling is, but I may be wrong, is that much of what Garth is asking for is already out there. At least the parts that are moderately easy to determine.
but not necessarily collected in any way and not shared. And in fact, many of them, I suspect, copyrighted by the organizations that are doing it, so it's not clear we could re-disseminate or whether ICANN should be in the business with ICANN funds to do it. But clearly the information is something that should be available one way or another. Evan, go ahead.
Alan, I will respectfully disagree that the kind of information that needs to go out there, I don't think it's ever been collected. I don't think it's ever been put forward in the form and to the audience that it needs to go out. And I put something in the chat that gives an example of that. We have media reports that are circulating all over the United States in this election campaign, some of which have been spread by a U.S. senator that basically says that the IANA transition equates to the U.S. government handing over the Internet. Does there exist anything from ICANN stated at a very, very basic level that says ICANN is not the Internet? ICANN is a tiny corner of the governance of the Internet that has to do with names and numbers. The IANA transition is not handing over the Internet. Has ICANN actually made something at a low level that anyone can read on the website that addresses that kind of very, very basic misconception that is held by people in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions? If we're not talking at this language to something this basic, we're not doing our job. Thank you,
Evan. The area of how ICANN should be reacting to things going on in the U.S. Congress is an area that's way out of my depth, and I suspect there are implications there that I don't know about. So that particular one, there may well be some rationale, but there's no question that there's huge amounts of misinformation out there.
I even mean we don't have to react to what's out there. There should be something that says, what is ICANN in very simple form?
Agreed.
This is what ICANN does. This is what ICANN does not do. Done in plain language, done in dozens of languages. That's not there.
Thank you, Evan. Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I think that what Evan asks for is covered in a very good way, but there have been responses by the ICANN chair to the accusations that were made, and these have been published. There's also the ICANN blog, which I know very few people read, unfortunately, but sometimes there are some good articles there. And it certainly talks about so many different things. And in there was also some plain language explanation of what the INS transition was about and responses to some of the accusations that were made. Perhaps there's, and I sense this thing, it's really hard for people to find that information. It seems to not be around, not be there for easy access.
Certainly we don't do anything as clear as the website I just pointed to.
Exactly.
Alberto.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. Well, I do agree with Evan. There was another important issue regarding accountability, ICANN accountability, the information security. You remember the Snowden issue and WikiLeaks. Many people said that ICANN was to blame for the lack of security. And we know that we, the ones who are working on this, are very worried and concerned about spreading the information and about saying that ICANN is responsible for the DNS system. And we have the root servers, and that is not ICANN's responsibility. So, somehow, we need to go out and tell people what ICANN does and what ICANN does not do. When it comes to spreading information or providing knowledge, well, in Montevideo, there was an event on Wednesday. There were many questions, and we spoke about this. And
we told people, for example, that we have a platform which is I Can Learn, because they wanted to know about things, so I know that now they're engaged by these I Can Learn courses. So this is a way of providing information as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to read Alejandro Pesanti's comment in the chat, but his hand is up. So Alejandro, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes. Yay.
Thank you. I think that at a crucial juncture like this one, we should think that bickering about ICANN is not our only business. Finding fault in what ICANN does is not the only thing that we have to do as at-large organizations. This is a very critical point. We are very assured about ourselves that we know what consumers and what internet users and what internet stakeholders of ICANN have to read, what language they speak. We should show up. We should show a bit of that by creating and crafting the messages ourselves, proposing them to ICANN, and spreading independently without waiting for a process that will eventually bring this to the website. The at-large and the organizations are good places to do this, and we should be. There's been a lot that's published. A lot of it may not be reaching the consumers. There's many subsets. But, for example, Andrew Sullivan's recent papers are, recent articles are very, very good about, you know, who owns the Internet and who should, and how it's, actually no one owns it, and how little and specific the role of ICANN is. Thank you.
Thank you, Alejandro. And in your chat, in the chat message, you said ALEC leadership should do it. Although I'll do my share of work, I think everyone has to get involved, and anyone who is in a position to understand the issues and can write intelligently. I don't think we have to wait for Garth's proposal to be taken up by ICANN and followed to do this kind of stuff. All we need is people with the initiative to start it. So I strongly support that. Aida.
This is Aida Novlia for the records. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Aida Novlia speaking. Well, I do agree with Evan's comment, and I participated in Montevideo meeting, and I can say that there is a gap, a deep gap between the end user and what we know. I mean, there is a great need for training, for capacity building. And on the other hand, for example, when it comes to consumers, well, ordinary people do not link the concept with the end user. For the end, for the ordinary user, a consumer is what the law, the definition of the law. So that is what I wanted to say. I believe it would be very difficult to explain this difference, because we have to take into account that consumer means one thing for ICANN and it might mean some other thing in another context. I know that we were discussing this in the first point, but anyway, I wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Aida. Is there anyone else? We have another 9 minutes or so we have a bit of time. We have finished the document. I think if I can summarize that there is general support for what it says. There are a number of the issues, such as the what we were talking about last, which are, really comes under the direct messaging to consumers at number three. That is, we don't necessarily need to wait for ICANN to take responsibility to do it. And I noted in the chat that Heidi also said that we could probably start doing some of these things if we chose to. It takes dedicated volunteers who will follow this through. We have plenty of them. We just need to make sure that we are focused and what they are doing is something that we are all supporting. But I think the overall intent is we could start moving on that quicker.
This is Carlos Vera. Sorry, Alan. I would like to take the floor, if I may.
In a moment. And so I think overall there's a lot of support for what Garth has put there.
some does need to wait until it be proposed to ICANN, and I think we've gotten a fair amount of comments during this meeting, and what we will need to do is try to feed them back to Garth. Presumably he will be on, he will listen to this recording and make some adjustments to the document, and then we should move forward with it with a fair amount of due haste. Carlos, please go ahead.
This is Carlos Vera for the records. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Carlos Vera speaking. Thank you very much, Alan. Well, I believe we need to work not on the end user, because then we will need to discuss what end means. And I believe that the term consumer is more related to a business thing. And perhaps the term user and consumer might be synonyms depending on the context and on the country. But I would like to speak about jurisdiction. I mean, in case we have a litigation with the end user or the consumer, what is the jurisdiction for that? So this is one important issue that we need to address and that may have some impact on end users. For example, if there is an issue coming up in a country outside the end user's country, what legislation should be applied? We can have a process in the address of the user, or we can have a process on the business. So that is the issue we have to address. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. As far as I know, there are well-established rules within law about jurisdictions for, if there are lawsuits between two individual parties, and often there are choices of where they can take action, depending on the specific issue. So I'm not sure that is something ICANN can settle. Alejandro, is that a new hand or an old one?
It's old, sorry. But okay, I would concur with Carlos about the specificity of consumers versus general users. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're all generally agreed. Garth used the term consumer because he thought it would catch people's eye. It had more pizzazz than users. From ICANN, that people's eyes in ICANN sometimes roll up when you use the term user, but I think it adds more confusion than it fixes. And since he is defining consumer as an internet user, I think we're probably better off just using the simple term. So I think we have pretty well unanimity on that. We have a couple of more minutes if anyone wants any final comments. Otherwise, we'll close out the meeting. One last chance for anyone to speak up.
Alan, it's Evan. I just quickly posted something into the chat. It's a link to an article on a site that many people know to have a very, very heavy right-wing bias in the U.S. called Breitbart, but it is extremely well-read. The headline says, UN could take control over the Internet October 1st, and it's basically, that's how it paints the IANA transition. There needs to be somewhere in ICANN, outside ICANN, in at large, somewhere, a concise set of facts that is able to rebut this factually in the kind of language that this is being presented in media outlets like this, that is not being presented to insiders in the industry, not being presented to government policymakers, but basically to people on the street who are being told to influence their politicians in very, very uninformed ways. ICANN should have been upfront with this and be able to respond to this weeks or months ago. But instead, it's allowed to grow. It's allowed to become almost cancerous in that you have people going around the Internet who are spreading stuff like this, and there is nobody countering them from within ICANN. Blogs by Steve Crocker are not going to do it. And Frankly, I'm not sure if volunteer written work by us is going to do it. If ICANN cares about this, there have to be resources allocated to it. It has to be professionally done. It has to be done in a timely manner. And we should be, we as a community should be pushing for this kind of communication, this level of communication.
Okay. Evan, we have
just not been
done. Evan, we do have a speaker queue, so, and we're running out of time. We only have 2 minutes left. I notice we have a speaker queue of Olivier, Alberto, and Alejandro, and I also note that we have a board member who posted something in our chat, which may be relevant. I haven't had time to click on it yet. Ron, if you'd like to get into the queue also, then please go ahead. I just to cut things short, I think Evans and the previous people speaking have a point that should be that is valid, and I will, as chair of ALAC, will take it up with the CEO, saying that we need to be countering this kind of stuff in a somewhat of more official way. I'll go to Olivier, Alberto, and Alejandro for very brief comments.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanabon speaking. And I don't disagree with Evan on what he's saying, but there is a press department in ICANN that is supposed to be able to issue rebuffs and so on. And unfortunately, I think that the way the press works, the more hardcore accusations these days get a lot more traction than rebukes, which are not exciting enough to be carried through. The only one, I guess, which was carried out there to some circles were the responses that Larry Strickling made during his address of the U.S. IGF, and even that didn't go as far as what we had here.
Yeah, I'll point out there's a very large concern in many places these days about false stories being spread through social media, and there is nothing you can do to stop them or counter them at this point. Alberto, quick comment, please.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. We have already started with this process within the ALSs by providing our opinion regarding the issue. What we are doing right now is this. We are preparing a course that will be delivered by each ALS with all these topics, but we are doing this at a RALO level so that we can have the same information across the region. So perhaps we need to see if we can... The interpreter apologizes, but we are not receiving Alberto Soto's audio.
Okay, thank you very much. Alejandro?
Thank you. We should not assume that nothing is being done. I am very wary of going full blast on campaigns like the one that's being run by the Breitbart and Gordon Krovitz and all these people. We have to analyze who they are actually influencing and how that reflects votes, and whether there are other ways to achieve ICANN's purposes. In this case, the public perception may be or not decoupled of the vote in Congress, and focus is most likely there. But again, if we are concerned, we should be doing it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ron, thank you for joining us today, and I give the floor to you.
Thank you. I think these are great concerns that are raised around communication. Let me apologize on that point. My voice is a little out of the weather. But nevertheless, the link I shared, there are regular communications that come out. And just case in point, there was a formal letter from NTIA about, they need to exercise within 30 days. The communication says basically, we may extend the contract if things don't work the way we wanted to. And we're notifying the organization that we have the right to do that. So that was received, and then we responded. You can see already there's already in the FAQ section on the link I provided in the chat, there's already a response that came from the organization back to the communique from the NTIA. So that's, I know that's been a repository for the organization to continue to put information about transition. It's right there on the, one of the main links off of the main ICANN.org website. But the broader topic of do we, need to go and respond to every social media rant I'm aware of the organization. In some cases, you know, responding to those things privately, sometimes publicly through the communications department. But, you know, I think somebody said it earlier that the ability of this organization to go chase down every possible social media rant and try to dispel all its inaccuracies is quite of a daunting task. But nonetheless, raising it to Jorn and seeing if there's anything that Duncan or the communication team can do more creatively or more, you know, more proactively or whatever, especially, you know, any feedback from the ALAC community, that would be, I'm sure, welcomed. So I'm glad you're taking that as an action to go back and at least drop some note on the conversation, Alan. Thanks.
Thank you, Ron. I guess my general feeling is it's not clear we can really counter the kinds of things we're just pointing to. The communities they are catering to are not likely to be impressed by anything we say, but if only for our community, I think we have to be seen as attempting to do something. But, you know, we're essentially dealing in a world where information spreads in ways that it didn't 5 years ago, and it's not clear what we can really do about that. I thank you all. We're a little bit over time. It's been an interesting discussion. We've gone a little bit off the topic of what the original paper was, but I think it's been an interesting and useful discussion, and I will be following forward on a few of the things we talked today, and hopefully we'll see a revision of the paper for the subject that it specifically was covering. So I thank you all for your attendance. It's been a great meeting, and I wish you a good rest of the day, night, morning, as you wish. Take care.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.